we leave our abandon our flesh connection and we come to establish new connection with those that come under the banner of Mahaprabhu. They are our own, and in the physical sense not our own, and that is left. The culture is everything. The inner man is his culture. His culture, his feet rather. So according to feet we are gathered together.
Maharaj, today is the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji.
Jagannath Das Babaji, Rasikananda, Gurudev Goswami, and that Madhav Maharaj, our God brother.
Today?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Madhav Maharaj disappeared 2 years ago, this day. And Jagannath Das Babaji, the Besha Guru of Besha Guru of
Bhaktivinoda,
to a certain extent, but Gaurakishore Babaji's Guru was Bhagavat Babaji. His Besha Guru was Jagannath Das Babaji.
What does Besha mean?
Besha means he took initiation from the Goswamis and they went to Vrindavan and took sannyas, the so-called Babaji sannyas. Gaurakishore Babaji took from Bhagavat Das. And Bhagavat Das was the Besha Shishya, the Babaji Shishya of Jagannath Das Babaji. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he came in connection with Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji had one favorite disciple in Ambarjora in the Vardhan district. Sometimes there he used to stay. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has connection there. And we are told that his God took base from Jagannath Das Babaji.
Did Jagannath Das Babaji tell something to Bhaktivinoda Thakur about preaching in the West?
I can't remember. Jagannath Das Babaji. I can't remember. He was very, very old, 125 years, we are told.
125
years? Jagannath Das Babaji. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended Prabhupada to take Harinam from Gaurakishore Babaji. And through his recommendation he came to him and got him. Gaurakishore Babaji did not make many disciples.
How many?
Maybe 3, 4, 5, like that. Maybe. Some say Prabhupada is only disciple. But in Radhakunda I saw a gentleman who also claimed that I am a disciple of Gaurakishore Babaji. I lived there, I served him. Mandavin Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gita.
Kichu kata ache?
Hare Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the narration which you repeated to us. There is the story of Chitraketu. So, Parvati, she cursed Chitraketu. And for this, she was chastised a little bit by Shiva. And Chitraketu, however, he did not mind.
Unaffected, went away.
Shiva said, just see the nature of Chitraketu, how exalted. Chitraketu Maharaj was unaffected, but his wives He had many wives. Naturally, they must have been very much affected, because after all, he was their full shelter, and now he was to be sentenced to birth as a very unfortunate birth in their eyes. So how they were able to avoid committing offenses, how the wives of Chitraketu were able to avoid committing offenses against Parvati. They might have become angry that why Parvati has unfairly cursed our husband. If they had that mentality, then they might have been guilty of some offense, since Parvati is such an exalted personality. So my question is, on behalf of the wives of Chitraketu, what should their mentality have been? Because Chitraketu is like their guru, and their guru has been cursed.
Then what was the result?
Well, the result is that...
Any conclusion is given there? No.
And it doesn't mention very much, I think, about the wives, to my remembrance. No. The wives are not mentioned. What happened to them is not mentioned. Therefore, I'm asking you, what could have been their fate now that their Gurupati has been cursed? How did they react to this?
One is worldly position, another is spiritual position. When come in clash, then worldly connection will have to be defeated. If their affinity is reverence to Chitraketu is in the worldly plane, then that cannot contest the spiritual position. That guru, Chitraketu was guru of those wives, but that mostly in the worldly sense, not in the spiritual plane. So that won't be fair for them.
Supposing
Parvati has got some position in the spiritual world. And that they may not have. If they may not have that strength in the spiritual plane, the chance of their being defeated. This practice of sammanda, the reverence, worldly reverence, respect, that will be, but in the spiritual plane, that will be more true, more lasting and durability there. And coming and clash, he'll have to be broken. That is the general opinion, should be decision. Material consciousness, when it comes in connection with the spiritual consciousness, material consciousness, must be defeated, must be broken, if there is any clash.
The wives of Kaliya, they must have had some spiritual vision.
Then?
Because they were appreciating that Krishna had blessed their husband with his lotus feet, even though he was smashing him.
They came to approach Krishna in a serving mode, it is shown. They got the chance of approaching Krishna in a favorable mode. Hare Krishna.
In the Bhagavad, there is the story of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. So can you elaborate on the nature of Ambarish Maharaj, how he was able to remain so tolerant and in the face of such difficulty, that even he felt it to be his own offense, although he was completely free from such offense.
Something due to his Kshatriya nature and also sense of Varnasram duty, religious duty. Atithi. Durvasa is my Atithi. So it is my duty to satisfy him. I did wrong. I did wrong. He was already in a critical position. And he put the question to his, to the assembly of his Brahmin advisors. Then the Brahmin advisors advised him that you take only a drop of water that can be contained in the in a kush grass. He took it. So he was satisfied that from the direction of his own conscience, he was clear that he is not guilty. But socially, as regards social custom, he thought he is guilty. He put into the crisis by the supreme will, so he may have to suffer partially. But he was a devotee, and though not of high order, but his stability was unquestionable, and also the nature of the habit of the Kshatriya feeling has some contribution there. The Kshatriyas are careless of their body. They don't care for death, as in the case of Karna and Parashuram.
Yeah.
You know the story, Karna and Parashuram. Karna, the friend of Duryodhana, and he, you may know that he was the son of Kunti before marriage, so he was left in the current of the Ganges in a pot, and one Suta, a charioteer, he took him, and he was childless. He gave this child to his wife, and he was nourished there, the Karna. The Karna, though he came from Kshatriya school, but he knew that he was Sutaputra, not Kshatriya. But he went to Parashuram. The intrinsic temperament was to get training for a Kshatriya. And he went to Parashuram to be taught. But Parashuram's custom was that only Brahmin and a Kshatriya, without Kshatriya he won't teach anyone else. He could not give his acquaintance as a Brahmin, and the Parashuram trained him, taught him the lessons of the weapon throwing, all these things. Then one day Parashuram is sleeping on the thigh of Karna. And Indra, who was always against Karna, was partial, his partiality towards Arjuna, his son. Some say that Indra, in the form of a worm, he came to bite Karna. And blood flowed, and when that blood that flow touched the body of Parashuram, he woke up and told, "What is this?" Then he was perplexed. "Oh, there's someone coming out of the earth. Has bite me and flow up blood. So much flow of your blood, and you don't interfere with me, don't ask me to Eric, what is this? This much patience a Brahmin may not have. You must be a Kshatriya. Only Kshatriyas may have such tolerance, patience. Brahmins can never have. They would say, 'You are not Brahmin.' Then he had to perhaps consult, or then, 'I am a Sudaputra,' or something like that, he told. Then he cast a, threw a curse that you have deceived me. Whatever you have learned from me won't come to your help, and you'll be really in danger." So that Kshatriyas, they have some natural patience.
Yeah.
They don't be afraid of dying.
Very tolerant.
Any tolerance, physical tolerance. So Ambarish, that Kshatriya habit helped him. I face the danger, whatever may come on my head. And also, he was a devotee, pure devotee, but of lower order, not very higher order. It is, we know it from Vishwanatha. Ambarish, the used to do the service in his hand, have temple, all these things. So that Ambarish is a general devotee. Above them there is Prahlada. In this way the gradation went on. But Ambarish, and that was the argument taken in by Narayana in Vaikuntha. What you are a Brahmin, Udvadbhasa put two causes in his favor, two points. I am a Brahmin, I am a Tyagi, Sannyasi. And Ambarish is a Grihastha, householder, and he is Kshatriya. And you are showing partiality to him, and you are Brahmanyadev. We learn from the scripture, you are Brahmanyadev, you must be some prejudice to our side, to the Brahmins, but you don't do the, we don't see you to do the justice. Then Narayana also put in his turn, "Oh, you are a Brahmin, you are a Sannyasi, but when you went to burn Ambarish, he did not fly away. But what about you? You are making so much of your body consciousness that when Sudarshan came to attack you, then you were fleeing by three Tribhuvan, three worlds. And you say that you are more closer to us, you are Brahmin and Kshatriya. But what do you say in the consequence? Ambarish honored my birth. Ekadashi, to honor Ekadashi means to honor me. He did it. And you also did it. In the Yamuna you found that the time is passing away. You also took some water, something, and to keep up the vrata, parana. And you were displeased with him because he He observed my birth. You are his otithi. He did not take any real food, but only taking a drop of water, he showed respect to me. Dekadashi birth is my birth. And you also observed it. And where is his fault? He did give respect to me, and you were angry with him. And also they are sanctioned by so many Brahmins of your race. And he is a culprit. So you will have to go to Ambarish, and the decision cannot be taken in my court. He went to Brahma, he went to Mahadeva, all sent to Vishnu, and Vishnu Narayan also said like that, you will have to go to that same Ambarish. Yes. You have committed offense there. You are making me so, insulting me, it is rather insulting to go to him. No, no, you go there and you will find the magnanimity there. Then Urvasa had no other alternative but to come to Ambarish, and Ambarish standing still like a criminal, something like that. Offending person, he is standing there. Here I am. I have done so wrong that the Brahmin is displeased with me. And what is this? Sudarshan came and drove the Brahmin into what direction, I don't know. But all these troubles due to in my connection. So I am a criminal. Like a criminal, he was waiting there. And as soon as Durvasa came, and no sooner he has asked any forgiveness, Ambarish was ready beforehand. And he did praise to Sudarshan Chakra. If I have done anything good in my life in the service of the Narayana, Sudarshana, you release this Brahmin, don't trouble him, this is my request, and this is my prayer to you. At the cost of my all the merits in my life, I pray to you please release this Brahman from troubling him. And then Sudarshana stopped. And Durvasa then went to praise. Ahu Anantadasa Nang. Wherever he is moving, what to speak of the servants of the Ananta Narayana. They are so magnanimous. We Brahmins, we are fond of austerity and collecting some subtle, some mystic power, and to trouble the ordinary people at large. This is our qualification, but whoever he be, who has got connection with Narayana, they are so generous, so magnanimous. It cannot be anything. No purity can be compared with bhakti, devotion of Narayana. This way he began to preach. But again Durvasa had to come against Pandava, here, there, everywhere. That Durvasa is taken in for cursing. He is a man of cursing, a Brahmin, who is reputed for, notable for his cursing. Everyone was to be, everyone had to be afraid of Durvasa for his cursing.
Why is he like that? Why is he like that?
He comes in the shadow of Rudra Mahadeva, Bhayanaka. Mahadeva, Shiva. He is born in partiality from the potential of Shiva, Rudra. Dhamsa, destruction, some connection fated connection with destruction, with birth. And Shakuntala also, we see his case. In Draupadi's, but to a devotee of Krishna, whatever unfavorable, ultimately they come to prove the dignity of the devotees. Draupadi, on the kona, negligent portion of the sarko that was in the spot, and the Krishna came ardently, give some food, Draupadi, I'm very hungry. And he has flew from the eyes of Draupadi, what you say. Only for food that we are in danger, your Pandava, your Sakhi Draupadi, all will be turned into ashes just now. Only one for want of food. And you ask to eat something from me, nothing that I have by some arrangement of the unfavorable vidhata. Today we are in such danger that I have taken my food and everything finished, as it was ordained by the sun. Before Draupadi takes his food, the food in the pot, in the pot, won't be finished. But after Draupadi has taken, nothing will remain. And that was the case there. That is, he was again. Virodha Alankar. Virodha Alankar. Oxymoron or something like that, opposite mixing. That we, for food, I am hankering, I am craving your presence, and you want food. What is this? You know everything and still you want food. No food. No. You see, please see. If you search, nothing remains. Something may remain. You search your fault. Then the body searched and found a speck, negligent portion of a saka, vegetable leaf. Oh, give me that. And he took it. Tasmin tushti jagat trittam primiti priritam jagat. I am satisfied. And in the plane, in such a plane, he standing, he expressed his satisfaction. All was fed, especially the good part of it, all these disciples. So they went away, fled away. Fled away, especially in fear of Bhima. That is, if we go, if we cannot take any food, the Bhima will not leave us, punish us. So go away, go away. So Durvasa cursed to the Pandav, took the Pandavas in a pristine, glorious position. So in the case of bhakta, it is so. Dangers come, but only to enhance their beauty, to glorify them, whatever. This is the very nature of the devotion of Krishna, in that none can, nothing can predominate over it. But what humility they show, that is natural. But our opposition cannot come in touch of them from other side. So Vishnu Varad, in that plane, we may not commit any anomaly. That is to be very careful, that is to be detected, and we must be careful about that. That who are my Vedusha, I may not do any wrong towards them. Yata khyatin jatam katham usahati tad viharam. The Vaishnavas are your guardian, your Vedushas. So be careful to do any wrong towards them. As I speak to the ordinary persons, ordinary plane, you may not be very particular. They won't harm you. But be alert that in your plane, in the important plane which you are able to come in, from that plane, abstractions may not come to you to trouble you. Be careful about your own plane. Because they are your Vedrishyas. And if you do any wrong to them, that will be very bad. And that will bring in turn big disaster. Be careful about Vaishnava Vrat. And Vaishnava Vrat is only really the Vaishnavas. There is another thing, Vaishnava Vrat, that all other misdeeds may get relief from the grace of the Lord, but not offenses to the Vaishnava. That is a peculiar thing. All misdeeds may be forgiven by the Lord, but in the case of his own, he do not take the law in his own hand. He gives it to him who is offended to decide. That is a peculiar position of the Supreme. So, Vrindavan Dasa, the thorn enters in a particular way in your body, and only through that it can go out, not through other part. So the Vaishnavas, they can consist the body of the Lord as it is. So if anything wrong is done to a particular place of his body, there should be given some medicine, some nursing, and not in other parts. In this way, Vaishnava Vrat. The Vaishnava can only forgive what wrong is done to him, and not even the Lord. He cares to do that. There is a peculiarity in him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Gold, Hare, Gold, Hare, Gold, Hare, Gold, Hare, Gold, Hare.
So we may be safe of the offenses against the Vaishnava.
Thank you.
We will return to Mayapur, Dhamna. We will return now to Mayapur.
Yes.
And come again.
I'm here.
Tomorrow.
Of course. Of course, some of you are coming. Either you or he. Some coming every day. And I pray to the Lord to keep me fit to meet you.
We are also praying like that.
Hare Krishna.
I have one question.
Yes. Who is he?
This is Navayovana Prabhu.
Comes from?
He's from San Francisco with Atreya Rishi Prabhu. He's working.
Atreya Rishi.
He's working with him.
Oh, Atreya Rishi came here.
Yes, with Srub Damodar. Navayovana Prabhu is, his interest is in Ayurveda.
And Prabhupada,
Yes.
And how long he is in connection with this ISKCON?
The
question?
Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, lust and lust alone is the enemy. And then a few shlokas later, he says that by regulating the senses, one can conquer this enemy.
By?
Regulating the senses.
And the way of regulation, he asks us to have an acquaintance with the nature of soul, then all these will be turned into ashes. Indriyani paranyahu, indriyabha parang mano, manasastu parabuddhir, buddhir jas paratastu sa. Evam buddhi parang buddha samstagbhyat manamatmana jahi sattva mahabahu kamarupam dulasatam. Who is not easily accessible. We cannot trace where does he live. But suddenly comes and after looting, disappears. And Dulasadam. But the way to conquer them is to analyze what is the senses. What are the position of our senses? Then what is the position of the internal king of these senses, the mind? And then what is intrinsically the acquaintance of the faculty of judgment, the buddhi, reason? Then, with the help of the reason, to try to find out the background of the reason, of the judgment, of the decisive faculty, the background. What is that? Now that is only a pencil of ray. That's, its nature is diametrically opposite to the world of experience. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an example that in the night, in moonly night, the cloud has covered the moon. And the cloud is seen by the light of the moon, but cloud has covered the moon. Nuraraj urupaschanna sajotsna bhasite ghanai ahangamatya bhasitaya sabhasa purusho yatha. The example is drawn from Upanishad. So, the ahankar, the mind, the senses, sense consciousness, the mind and the intelligence, all combined forming a system has covered Atma, the moon. But they are seen and it is possible for them to act only because there is light, because the Atma, the moon. So, by the help of the reason, we shall try to catch what is above that. And we shall be able to see that it is Atma. We may come in direct connection with Atma and the conception also. However hazy it may be, then the whole thing of the material aspiration will turn into trash. And you will be able easily to conquer all the charms of this world, the Lord says. Only anyhow we try to have the superior conception of your Atma, that you are so and so. And these base things has come to entrap you. How dignified position you are in there, that you have rasapasya param drishta nivartate, their charm will be vanished when you come in contact slightly with the dignified position of your own soul. And what to speak of the super soul Paramatma and not to speak anything of Narayana and Krishna. So much ecstatic enjoyment is that side. Only when come, it is within you. Though it is far away at our present conception, but still it is with us, the Paramatma, the Jivatma. And try to concentrate even for a second there. And we'll find how dignified position and who are these thieves. The reason, the mind, the senses, all are thieves and decoys that take you higher in the land of misery by some intricate sarajantra ki conspiracy that would seem to you. Indriyani parannahu, indriyabha paramamana. Our senses, they are superior in comparison with all the things we experience around. Without senses, nothing is of any importance to us. Suppose this touch, the eye, and the vision, the ear, devoid of all, then no conception of anything external, the world is nothing to us. Again, the central figure of the senses is mind. He is calling me, I was unconscious, I was unmindful, I did not hear. The sense is there, but because I was unmindful, I did not hear him. I did not see unmindful. So mind is in the center, and mind is sankalpa vikalpa. The two functions of mind. I want this, I do not want this. I do not want this. I want this, I do not want that. And this is mainly the acquaintance of mind. Then buddhi. From mind we have to go up to buddhi. Reason. What is that? Nishchayatmika. Mind wants that, but it will have such a reaction. Don't go that side. The buddhi, the intelligence will, the faculty of judgment will give me precaution. Don't go. Don't hear what mind says. Don't obey him. That is intelligence. Then, if we go up, surpassing intelligence and search what is afterward, at the backing up intelligence, the function of intelligence is making possible. What is that background? Then we'll be able to see, this is myself proper. And all outside extension in the material world. They are material coating. I may leave them and with the Atma I can go up somewhere else. This atmosphere is at all not necessary to me. It is harmful. It is a coating, garment, which is thrust on me to come in connection with this bad environment. With living this here and my soul proper, with that realization, I can go to higher direction, towards Paramatma, by going up. This is coming down, and that is going up from Atma to Paramatma, and his environment, and passing Brahma Loka, where I am to go to Shiva Loka and Vaikuntha. Then when in Goloka, then I am in complete, my return journey is complete there, so to say. Sarupe sabar hai golokete sthiti, the domain of love and beauty, and extreme dedication. That is innate and that is very easy at the same time. And this is all the modious and the artificial. Whatever we are doing here, we are in connection with whatever function and activity, all artificial. And we shall find that that is only natural in our innate conception. Sarupe Sabarvai Golokate Sthiti. The beauty or love, similar, our intrinsic hankering for that, that is Sarupa. We know or we may not know, but our innate hankering to come to beauty and not force. Some of us may think that force is greater attractive, but if we, if our analysis is perfect, then we shall come to know that power is not the final result of our hankering. Its final thirst is for beauty and not for love. And that is found in the land of the highest dedication. We must pay for that. Dedication. Dedication means pay. We pay and pay and go up and up. And we shall reach the land of spontaneous dedication and love. And that is Krishna Loka, that is Goloka. Goloka means full sphere, the solid circle. Not only circle in the brain, but a solid like a ball. Goloka. Goloka means ball. That is four right angles, solid four right angles. Right angled sphere. In a circle. That is Goloka. A globe. Hare Krishna.